when I was given the vision of the throne room of God, and he saw the fullness of God's glory. He saw what he considered the perfection of God's glory, and the seraphim, the angels crying, "Holy, holy, holy." I just want to lead us in that short praises this morning, that we declare that God is holy and we want him to fill us with his holiness. I enter the Holy of Holies. I enter through the blood of the Lamb. I enter to worship you, holy. I enter to run or I am. Lord, I worship you. I worship you. For your name is holy, Lord. For your name is holy. Your name is holy, Lord. I enter the holy. I enter through the blood of the Lamb. I enter to worship you, holy. I enter to run or I am. Lord, I worship you. I worship you, for your name is holy. Your name is holy, Lord. For your name is holy, Lord. For your name is holy. Your name is holy, Lord. For your name is holy. Your name is holy, Lord. Let the weight of your glory cover us. Let the life of your river flow. Let the truth of your kingdom reign in us. Let the weight of your glory, let the weight fall. Let the weight of your glory fall. Amen. In all three readings for today's celebration, we notice how Isaiah, Paul, and Peter recognize their sinfulness and wretchedness before God. After experiencing the holiness and power of God, Isaiah and Peter condemned themselves. They felt like they were completely useless to God.
But God is not frightened by sin. God loves us the way we are, but he loves us so much that he does not want to leave us the way we are. God knows that our true identity is not all about our sinfulness, our weaknesses, and our wretchedness. He knows that we are much more than those. St. John Paul II says, "We are not the sum of our weaknesses and failures. We are the sum of the Father's love for us and our real capacity to become the image of his sons." So, when God looks at you, Jim, when God looks at you, Ted, when God looks at you, Cindy, God sees you for who you can become, what he created you to be, a saint. So God sees potentials and not weaknesses. So when God saw Isaiah, Isaiah acknowledged his weaknesses, God saw a potential. Jesus saw a potential in Peter. Jesus saw a potential in Paul. And that is why how God looks at us. He looks at us with a gaze of a possible saint. So it is not who you are that matters to God, but who you can become in Christ. That is the vision of God. So I say to you once again, God loves us the way we are, but he loves us so much that he does not want to leave us the way we are. How beautiful. He loves us the way we are, but he does not want to leave us the way we are. God wants us what is his. He wants to take our sins, our weaknesses, our inabilities, our imperfections, and give us his forgiveness, his mercy, his holiness, his righteousness, his love, his grace, his wisdom, and his power. So he wants to take everything that is imperfect in us and give us everything that is perfect in himself. That's the invitation, dear friends. We are not yet the best version of ourselves. We are not yet transformed into the perfect likeness of his son. That is why God is calling us so he can help us become the best version of ourselves to transform us into the likeness of Christ. It is only when we become the best version of ourselves, when we are transformed into the likeness of Christ, that we truly fulfill the purpose for which God created us. We become vessels of honor. We become instruments of grace. We become co-workers of the kingdom and the perfection of his glory. The second century church father, Saint Irenaeus of Lyon, says, "Man fully alive is the glory of God. You and I are the true glory of God." So it's not the incense, it's not the altar, it's not the garment of God that Isaiah saw in the vision. It is you and I, fully alive. And that was why I knelt the presence of God's glory. You and I are the true glory of God, fully alive. Not the incense, not the altar, not the garment, not the throne room, but you and I. You and I are the true glory of God. Transformed souls, converted sinners, committed Christians, believers on fire for Christ, we are the true glory of God. All God wants from us is a humble, contrite heart, a docile spirit, a sincere surrender, and a complete trust in the power of his grace. God has called us not because of what we can do, but what he can do for us, in us, and through us. The Bible says in Ephesians 3, verse 20, God is able to exceedingly abound all things according to the power at work in you. There is a power at work in you. There is grace at work in you. And so God can do exceedingly above, abundantly above what he can ever ask. Let us arise in the spirit, dear friends, and dedicate our lives to the call and service of God. Let us use our lives to give God glory. As the prophet Isaiah says in the first reading, let us fill the earth with his glory as we go about doing good and winning souls for the kingdom. To God be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. God be with you. God strengthen you. God help you to come to that conviction that he sees you for not who you are, but what you can become. He loves us the way we are, but he does not want to leave us the way we are, because we are all potential saints. We are all great people that God had in mind before he created us. And that is the potential that he wants us to unleash for the kingdom, for our salvation. May the Lord bless his words in our hearts through Christ our Lord. Amen.